It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time on Tuesday. Time for Tom and Shay, No Business in Politics. Why should we believe the science? Why should we believe the science is our topic today. And let me remind you that we're here every Tuesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Subscribe, ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified no matter what time zone you're in when we're on. And like us and leave a comment because, well, YouTube likes that stuff. So Shane, a couple things. We've had five inventions that have changed the world: flight, electricity, automobile, telephone, radio, and TV. Yet 20% of Americans believe the moon landings are fake. And at one time, people believed the science that the world was flat. And I tell you, I have been in an aircraft at 30,000 feet, and I can tell you positively the Earth is flat. There's no curve up there, I'll tell you for sure. So, and of course, people believe the science of the sun revolved around the Earth. The Earth was the center of the universe, and everything revolved around it. So, our question today, I guess, is science reliable? Is it reliable? Can we count on it at all for anything?
Well, absolutely. I mean, all you have to do is walk somewhere in your city to look at the downtown area and look at the buildings and what engineering and contracting and technology have brought to the world at whole. I mean, even in the 50s and 60s, insurance companies took their money and moved around the world to build hotels around the world. There are 15,000 hotel complexes around the world now because of insurance companies. So when you combine money with technology, what the growth we create is just enormous. So the automobile is overwhelming, 1 billion cars on the road today. Von Braun, coming from Germany after the V2 experience with fascism, 1,500 scientists designing the Saturn V and landing man on the moon. Oppenheimer, born in New York and brilliant from the beginning, finished university at 18 and was involved in the Manhattan Project and creating a weapon that could end World War II before the Germans or Japanese. And so the world could have changed in a gumdrop. I mean, if Einstein hadn't have come to the United States and several other German scientists before the war, things could have been totally different. So, yeah, technology, timing, intelligence, innovation, imagination, it just, what we've seen in the last 150 years is just overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, but what we've seen recently, we're supposed to believe the science about vaccines, and that hasn't panned out. People are still debating the science of when life begins, at conception or at birth.
That's true.
So, science has a base, I guess, but how it's interpreted can be an issue for many people, on what should you eat. Somebody says, oh, coffee's good for you, only eat vegan or only eat Mediterranean or only eat this or only eat that. And the science is all over the place on our lifestyle. Should we believe it or should we just live our lives?
Well, science as a whole is based on theory. And once a theory is developed, whether mathematically or otherwise, it has to be proven. Medicine is predicated on methodology because the study of man, certainly mm-hmm. since the 14th, 15th century, and even further back, I mean, the pharaohs and the Romans were doing surgery, brain surgery, as a matter of fact. So methodology in medical science has not gone well in the last 4 years, and we don't know why. I mean, was it because it was just... Mm-hmm. not understood, or was it intentional? When we see what it can do out of control and not real, and the methodology isn't proven, is destructive, incredibly destructive. Same with technology. The advancement of the personal computer from the 80s to now, it's changed the world. So
yeah,
there's so many things that we find continually occurring that it's sometimes overwhelming because there's so much of it, especially with social media and the internet to educate you. So you can go learn about all of it.
Yeah, but is the education accurate? That's the issue, I think. You know, the more we communicate, the more the lines are blurred as to what's fact and what's fiction.
Well, it gets down to methodology and the process. We have governments around the world, including ours, that have agencies that are in charge of overview of science and medicine and are supposed to protect us and steer them properly in a direction that's beneficial to us, not a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you have something that occurred in the last 5 years, which was new science with medicine and, coming up with a new methodology to create a vaccine, vaccines before always had the disease involved in the vaccine. And this was the first time they came up with a vaccine that had nothing to do with the disease itself. And
yeah.
Refusing to accept that, it was one of 117 variants of the cold. Man's been trying to cure the cold for years.
I was going to say,
for thousands of years.
Everything we know, the entire knowledge of the world doubles every 13 months, and we still have cold. So why?
Now you have artificial intelligence and a computer that can do or provide any type of educating necessary. It can represent you as a lawyer. It can be your teacher. It can improve your work, help you find a job. It's quite amazing how something that's clearly new and viable is creating such fear, because right now there's a big political discussion of the policy for artificial intelligence and how is it managed. Here comes the Terminator, baby.
I know college students all over the country are using AI to write their thesis papers, and it's pretty amazing. There was one on 60 Minutes or Good Morning America or one of those not too long ago that they were talking about we'll do paintings for you, it'll do architecture for you, it'll do all kinds of stuff for you that you don't even have to have the knowledge to do it. All you have to do is type in what you want. You could type in a painting in Rembrandt's style, and boom, you get a vase of flowers or something painted as Rembrandt would have painted them. So that's what we're wondering about. How much of the information that we get, an event happens, and then social media and the media networks go after it, and then 4 days later we find out the initial reporting was totally false, totally wrong, everything about it was wrong. And I think all of this has made us less trusting of information and science as we go about our daily lives, because we're getting so much information that all of a sudden is wrong.
Well, as a baby boomer generation, you and I were raised that if you make a mistake, you apologize.
Yeah.
If you do something wrong, you don't lie about it and you apologize.
Yeah.
And you have moral consequences, both physical, emotional, and mental, if you don't. So one of the difficulties you have right now with what we're talking about is the failure that there's any responsibility or action taken. I think the simple common sense response to this is legislate that any AI develop has to provide user. So anybody that uses it has to be, declared on its site. A full list with the name and email address. So that's easy. Yeah, it ends up having a million, 10 million, 100 million names on it, but everybody knows whether or not you have used the site. That's it. That's all you have to do. Because anybody that does it for education is plagiarizing. I mean, that's
basically. Well, that's true. Well, yeah, I use a program when I write called Gramercy, and it checks for plagiarism. If I've written a sentence the same exact way someone else wrote it, it'll tell me, you know, so I can change it if I need to. So, but yeah, it's very helpful program. But yeah, you know, you were talking about people growing up as we did, you were taught to apologize and all that. That's out the window. No politicians are apologizing for getting anything wrong. No news media doesn't. If newspapers do something wrong, it's on, you know, their attractions on page 150 or something like that. You know, it's is it any wonder that we we have a real problem trusting the information that is given to us, whether it's science or anything else.
In democracies, because of the freedoms granted, a lot of people are very forgiving. So anybody that's ever been in a situation, whether it's Reagan in politics or newscasters in the media, admit and apologize, they've done well, and they've saved their credibility. So the problem with the media today in our countries and in most of the free world is their failure to admit they were wrong and then follow up and explain with another article on, you know, the what did occur, and that they made a misstatement or clearly misrepresented what had occurred. That should be a responsibility of a good journalist or a good politician. And But there, because there's no follow through or accountability, you know, unless there's a huge outcry, like when the woke came along and they caught that guy in Hollywood with all these women, and he had, like, you know, won all kinds of awards, Golden Globe and Oscar company.
Weinstein, yeah, Harvey Weinstein. And
they took him all away from him.
Yeah. You know, well, I should have. Yeah. Well, there's no reason not to mention.
The governor of New York, he won an Emmy for, you know, his newscasting every day of, you know, during COVID. And that all turned out to be bogus. So they took his Emmy away. So, I mean, there has been an effort in some areas to have people accountable, but, gee, in a large degree, none.
Yeah, that's true. In a large degree, none. So, sorry about that. Should have turned my phone off.
Everyone wants to talk to you, Eagle Man.
They do. They want me. I'm sure it's aluminum siding or health care or something. Well, I don't know, Shane. The we're so inundated with information daily. You know, commercials and you know, everything on TV seems to be some kind of pill. Take this pill and you'll be okay, you know, or, you know, get this procedure, or buy this weight loss or whatever it happens to be. We don't seem to get a lot of, you know, the time that people are on live versus the time we hear about the pills is shrinking.
Well, you know, in July 16th, 1945, Oppenheimer, you know, exploded the first nuclear weapon. And he wrote in his diary that, you know, that day that, you know, from the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the book of the pagan lovers from India, now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. So, you know, even a pagan Bible, you know, probably has some meaning to it. You know, to this day.
Maybe.
One of these strange and amazing things about mankind is he doesn't always pick up on the mistakes he made. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that if there are any extraterrestrials watching us, it's because, you know, a nuclear weapon is a universal weapon. And you know, I originally got that idea, I guess, from Star Trek, but the bottom line is that, you know, it is the beginning and the end. And so it's something that we know we have, and you know, we don't need a natural event, or you know, to destroy the world. We can do it ourselves.
Oh yeah. Yeah, pretty easy. Yeah. Well, I think that that idea, of course, the War of the Worlds with Michael Rennie back in the 50s came to Earth.
Great
to
movie.
Say, hey, you're not going out into space because you're too dangerous to be out with the rest of us. And so we 70 years later, we still don't have that message down pat, Shane. So I don't know what it takes. I was watching last night, and once again, you know, somebody's over in Ukraine showing the devastation and everything like this. And I'm wondering how far does humanity have to advance before we can't sit down at a table and work out some difference, where instead you've got to overpower some people physically to control them.
Well, this is a great example and a good time to bring this up in our conversation is in the last 500 years, you know, science and technology has accepted their thesis, their theory, and their what they've learned. And they don't repeat, or not to any degree, repeat the same mistakes. They try to move forward and improve on them. That's not the same with education and politics and economics. You know, those things just seem to be unable to recognize mistakes that we've made time and time again. Mm-hmm. War is a perfect example. You know, for 500 years, you've seen, you know, wars in, you know, for five centuries that basically have been repetitive of the previous wars.
Yeah. Same thing over and over.
You know, we find ourselves in a similar situation right now with Ukraine. I mean, it's warmongering. People say they can't stop it. Maybe they can. So it has to come to a full circle on its own. But the result of that is destruction and death. And, you know, we saw what happened during the Obama and Biden years. From North Africa, from Morocco all the way to Lebanon, across North Africa and into the Middle East. All great countries that had maybe liberal left or communist or socialist leaders or democracies destroyed. And amazingly, the one that's untouched the most is Israel. And the smallest, the most powerful in the Middle East. And it didn't suffer like every other country did, and all bad political and military mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's that's the case. That's what we're looking at as we go through yet another year, another election coming up. All that you know, we're going to be inundated with all kinds for the next 18 months. We're going to be inundated with false information, Shane. Just crap. It's undeniable. That's all we're going to hear is political crap for the next 18 months.
Well, that's why people like you and I on social network have podcasts, and we try to get to the truth and share it with the world. And, you know, having this ability to do it is a pretty remarkable thing. I mean, I'm quite 68, you know, on a limited income, you know, it's... you know, 8 below 0 here, it's snowing, but I'm warm in a home with food and heat and clothing.
That you are.
And I'm blessed, but boy, you know, you turn on the TV and look at the rest of the world. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Craig weighs in. Ukraine is not warmongering. It's an aggressor. Russia invading a country. Sadly, Americans now support Russia. No, they don't. Nobody supports Russia. What are you talking about?
And I don't. If they were, they'd be handing them the Abrams tank. You know.
I was going to say, let's support Russia with tanks and stuff and whatever. So
Right.
Well, and you know, your Ukraine's leader, he jails the opposition party, he jails the and shuts down the media, shuts down all these groups that are opposed to him, And that's another indication, Shane, that what we're facing in the coming years is more and more censorship. Newsmax kicked off DirecTV. So, you know, it's the fourth most watched cable network in the world. So there we are.
Well, it's like Venezuela, you know, 25 years ago, when Madero came to power as a socialist, the country was producing over 4 million barrels a day of oil. They have now the largest known reserves in the world, and they can't even produce 500,000 barrels a day for their own country.
Yeah, so that's,
you know, 5 years ago, 5 years ago that they had somewhat of an election, and another, you know, another fellow probably looked to have won. And of course, Madero threatened him, and he left the country. And he went to Colombia initially, and then everyone in the West said, "Well, he's the leader. He's the leader. He's got to replace Maduro." And that went on for like, remember that 7 or 8 months?
Yeah.
He got a visa to come to the U.S., and turns out he's more of a communist than Madero.
Yeah.
So it ended. The whole conversation of, well, we want to replace Maduro with this guy, it just ended. So, that's an example of what you're saying, is that people get this wrong and they jump on it. And, you know, he just keeps wandering around doing newscasts saying, I want, you know, free elections in Venezuela. Well,
yeah,
there you go.
Well, Zelensky is, is a dictator. No question about it.
Yeah.
This guy's as corrupt as they come.
Yes,
you know, whether I don't care what he was before he became a politician, you know,
he was a comedian.
Well, he was, yeah, no, I know that. I mean, he just capitalized on his popularity.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you get into a corrupt regime like that, you know, and you silence any opposition to you, then the world is, oh my God, we're invaded. Oh my God, we've got to help these poor Ukrainian people. Oh, geez. You know, well, where's the United Nations telling Putin to get the hell out of Ukraine? Where's NATO? You know, all these, they're not a member of NATO, so we can't help you, you know. And Germany says, well, we'll send tanks if the United States will, because we know our Russia pissed at us by all alone. I mean, what wimps we are in the world.
Everybody has, you know, that devil on their shoulder. And until politics involve the newest generation, the millennials around the world, and they're starting to engage now, number one. Number two, because they're a bigger generation than ours was. Number two, until people come to terms with the type of understanding of politics they have and they want. And then, of course, you know, finally, the most important thing is that people come to terms with the fact that you can't stop someone with the ability to organize or attack another country when they're in control.
Yeah.
It's just one of those issues that is, again, something we've been dealing with as a world for 500 years. I mean, this has been going on.
Well, longer than that. I mean, 5,000 years.
But people in our country, yours and mine, make such an issue of slavery. And it was horrific. It was terrible. You know,
and it's still going on.
and still going on in other parts of the world. But more importantly, war and the hundreds of millions of people in 500 years that it's killed. You wonder how many Einsteins, Oppenheimers, or von Browns, or,
you know, Edisons, or Fords, minds, or
Beethovens, or you know, John Lennons have died.
Yeah.
Or, you know, were never born because of war. So it's a you talk about these kinds of things. It's pretty philosophical, but it's overwhelming.
True. Yeah. Okay. Well, comes back, circle around, Shane. Do you trust the science? Well, I guess in some things we do, you know, and some things we don't. You know, we have to pick and choose our information because it comes from a variety of biased sources. So, you know, where do we find ourselves when we turn on the news or read a newspaper or read a news magazine or look at social media or whatever, wherever we get our information. I think it's time we really start to question the source.
Well, you have
more
to.
Deeply,
I mean,
into what's said.
You look at this Green New Deal, global warming, the cost in just talking about it at meetings and and convening committees and around the world, it's such a waste. There's no science.
No, there
isn't.
We've
gone through the science of extinction
level events.
Extinction level events. Thank you. And you know, the last five, two were volcanic, two were from ice ages, and one was from an asteroid. And so it's incredible.
And we're still here.
And so
We weren't here for all of them. We weren't here for all of them, but we're
no,
still here.
But you know, 98.9% of all life on the planet were destroyed by all of it, and it came back.
Yeah.
So it's a wonder of archaeologists and biologists and geologists and so forth. Where are they on all this? Well, they're not there because they know it's not true. Anyway, the key is being able to have these moments, and that's what they are. Mm-hmm. You know, half an hour is a very short period of time in a year, in a decade, in a century, for you and I to take to
take a topic and All right. Well, we got to remind you, hey, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, and you'll always be notified when we're on, no matter what time zone you're in. Like us, leave a comment. If you like what we're doing today or what we're talking about today, let us know. If you'd like to hear more programs like this, we'd like to hear from you. And we're not going to be on this Thursday because I've got a doctor's appointment, unfortunately. So we'll be on radio on Saturday, though. We will be there. So by all means, we'd like to invite you over to our Saturday show, because we do have a lot of fun over there, and we got 3 hours to talk about it, Shane. So award-winning Tom and Shane, live on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now. Nothing to join, no sign up, no group message or anything. You can call us, you can text us, you can communicate with us in a whole bunch of different ways while we're on the air.
Give Craig Johnson our phone number for Saturday, will you? Because Craig's
He has it.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Yeah. He's local.
Call in, Craig. Come on.
Let's debate this stuff. So we don't just pop things into our mind, you know. We research what we talk about, and we're pretty confident in our what we think and what we say. So by all means. So all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. So we will see you Saturday on radio. Bye for now.